咱今仔日的经文个是记载伫福马太福音第一章，咱要对19:39第二十一节。
Our scripture for today is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 19-21.
Matthew 1, 19-21. 他的丈夫约瑟是一个异人，不愿意明明的收留他，想要暗暗将他休了。正思念这个代志的时阵，有主的使者向伊梦中显现，讲：大卫的子孙约瑟，唔通惊，只管带家里的妻子玛利亚来，因为伊所怀的孕是对圣灵来的，伊要生一个囝，你着予伊起名叫做耶稣，因为伊要将家己的百姓对罪恶来救出来。
Matthew chapter 1, verses 19-21. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear and take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. These are the words of the Lord. Please be seated.
Peace, everyone.
I'd like
to greet everyone a Merry Christmas. Of course, Christmas in various countries may be celebrated in different ways. There are some countries that do not celebrate Christmas at all. Because there are nations in which Christianity has no place. Or else there would be a very minor percentage of the population are Christians, and so there's no Christmas celebrations. So when you think about it, do communist countries celebrate Christmas? I do believe they do celebrate Christmas. Once we've been to Vietnam with Brother Guido and his mother. That was the last trip we took with Elder Rebecca. At that time we've been to Saigon, Ho Chi Minh. Saigon, which is now called Ho Chi Minh City. Of course, back when I was born, it was called Saigon, and now it's called Ho Chi Minh City. In fact, we went there, and on Christmas Eve, it was celebrating everywhere.
So when
you go to the hotels on Christmas Eve, you get the most expensive meal of the year. But the next day, on December 25, we went out and we saw all the decorations were gone. Because all the celebration was finished on Christmas Eve. But so in fact, communist countries do in fact celebrate Christmas. When you think about America, does the United States celebrate Christmas? They do. But there is a difference now. When you go to the
mall,
they don't tell you Merry Christmas anymore. What do they tell you? Happy holidays, they say. So they're starting to remove the main meaning of Christmas. And you know, this is quite pitiable. Because the United States used to be a Christian founded nation, but now we're starting to remove Christianity. But we thank God that this Philippines is still more conservative.
Merry Christmas, happy holiday,
instead of happy holidays, we still greet each other with Merry Christmas. So at least God is still with us. Jesus is still in this country. Because other than Jesus, Christianity is meaningless. Because of, when you think of Judaism, they do believe in the Old Testament, but they don't believe Jesus is God. And when you think of Islam, they also believe in the Old Testament, but they don't believe in Jesus as God.
But
we thank God because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But when you and I are thinking about our salvation, we have to reflect once again on what Christmas is. In the passage earlier, we see that through the Holy Spirit, Mary had conceived. Naturally, Joseph was worried because he had not yet had sex with Mary, and yet she was pregnant.
So at that time, he was worried because he had not yet had sex.
But as Joseph was considering divorcing Mary quietly, the angel appeared to him. He said, do not. But the angel instead said, you should stay with Mary and you should call this son Jesus. And what does Jesus mean? That he will save his people from their sins. In other words, Jesus came to save his people from sin. So what does this phrase mean to us? The first important aspect we see in the phrase, God will save his people from their sins. Because Jesus said he would come to save his people from sins, it is clear that he came with a mission. And this is drastically different from humans.
Because man was born,
because when we are born as a human, when we grow up, there are many of us who still don't know what our mission is in life. And there are, of course, people who still don't know their mission even when they're old. You know, when we are studying as children, and when the teacher often gives us an essay question that says what my mission is, what my goals are. So what is the goal of living this life? And of course, everyone writes different responses. However, there are most of us, well, the thing we write is completely different from what we do when we grow up. For example, I believe I have never written as an essay that my goal is to become a pastor. When I think, I would never have imagined that as a child. Because I used to hate Christians, but then afterwards I believed in Christ. So I believe in school I have never written that I would become a pastor. But I believe that each of us live in a constant search for the meaning of life. What is the mission of life? Jesus had his mission very clear. Jesus was clear he would come to save his people. What about us?
There
are people with no mission
at all. And there
are people whose missions are quite the same as the rest of the world.
In
China right now, there are two primary goals in
life.
First of all, is to earn
money. It used
to be that their mission included to serve people.
然后最近, 他们为人民服务, 人民低头加多一个字, 叫做为人民币服务,
but now they changed their meaning to serving for the sake of money.
所以有很多人,
so we see now that everyone lives for money.
那第二的使命是什么?
And the second vision
男的找什么,
is the ideal partner for men and women.
就是叫做男的找,
the men would look for certain criteria in women, three criteria.
啊? 白富美,
fair, tall, and beautiful.
Fair, rich,
and beautiful.
白富美,
fair, rich, and beautiful.
男人是这个, 我跟你说,
this is how Chinese people think.
外国人是什么?
And when you're American or Western, what do you
是黑富美,
we think of tall, dark, and handsome.
黑富美,
dark, rich, and beautiful.
因为外国人用 black is what? Beauty. 他没说, black is beauty,
because the Americans idealize the tanned look instead of fair.
所以你没看到中国人也爱白,
but in fact, we Chinese people idealize the fair woman.
哇,他感觉你若生了白,你已经哇,真水了啦。
Because somehow, if you're born fair, white, then somehow you're already beautiful.
So we never see
Chinese women go tan themselves at the beach. So if that's the criteria of men looking for partners, what about women? What do women look for? Tall, rich, and handsome. Tall, rich, and handsome.
不是我是矮富啊。
and that's the ideals of women. So in life, what is our mission? And there are many people who sadly their missions are contained in this world.
But
it's sad. It is quite sad. But as Christians, we have mission. Because when Jesus came, he had a very clear mission. I like the English term vocation.
You're
often asked what your career is, what's your profession. I'm not a fan of the term profession. Instead, I like to use vocation. What does vocation mean? This means that in your task, you are called by God. In other words, vocation means this thing that I am doing, is it God's calling for me? In other words, God gives us all different vocations. But once I've asked the Young Pro Fellowship, I asked the women, how many of you want to be housewives?
80%
of them didn't want to be housewives.
And
then I asked them another question.
然后干哪几年没被啊?
Why was it that you don't want to?
然后他就给我一个很简单的答案。
And they gave me a very simple answer. One of them.
因为我就贪钱啊,我娘不知道,我只做存淡薄钱啊。
Several of them said, you know, if I need to earn some money for myself, so that if my husband decides to ditch me, then I would still have money for myself. And I was thinking, they're not even married yet, and they're already concerned about their husbands leaving them.
It's
quite sad, isn't it? And another thing,
he said,
we don't want to just stay at home because we just end up senile.
我问你,
Let me ask you, housewives out there? Are you feeling yourself deteriorating at home?
Huh? Juby.
Juby, are you?
Huh?
Do you feel deteriorating? If you think housewives get foolish after a while, look at Juby and see if she is.
But
let me tell you, it is a great art in managing your household. So sometimes we need to understand something. When Jesus came, he had a mission. And of course, when each of us are born, we don't know yet what our mission is. But in the process of life, we will see God's clear calling on how he'll use us. Let us not just use our gifts and talents to see what our life is meant for. Let me repeat. Do not use your talents as the standard for life, for your life.
有呀，这个恩赐会变作帮咱咱来检讨，这个无唔对。
Of course, our skills can help us discern.
但是那个不是唯一的标准。
However, that is not the primary condition.
我讲一个例子，你了解。
For example,
比如讲，咱不爱算数。
Of course, we don't want to do math.
你不能走去读 accounting.
How about let's not go take accounting for our major? If you major in accounting and you don't like math, then
we'll
die. Of course, your ability in math is a natural standard, criterion. However, there is another point. Sometimes God leads us. Sometimes God leads you somewhere, gives you a task, and then He'll give you your talent. Let me repeat. Sometimes God gives you your skill after calling you to a certain task. It's not always that I have this talent and then I'll choose what I want to do. Instead, we follow God's leading and then He will give us the skills we need. So right now, as it's Christmas, let us think upon this. That God, may God help us and give us a mission in life. And this following year, 2018, what does God want you to do? You know, we thank God that we are still capable of thinking like this. Because there are many Christians in Muslim countries who can't even say about tomorrow. Because they could die any minute. Any time they could be killed. And so what we're thinking in their minds right now, today, God, what do you want me to do? And I'll do it. In the country of Syria, there are 10 Christians. And as they're gathered, these 10 Christians gathered around and said to each other, you have to pray carefully if you want to stay here because there's a big chance you will die here. And the following week, the 10 of them gathered again. And all 10 of them prayed about it and they all said, I want to stay. I am ready to die for God any minute. And so they did something. What did they do? They all put money and bought a lot in the cemetery. And they said, if any time God calls me home, my body has somewhere to go. And this, in that situation, this is how they look at their lives. But right now, we can safely look at tomorrow. We can plan for tomorrow.
But
of course, we can't promise whether or not we'll be alive tomorrow. However, God has given us a bigger possibility that we will have plans to do tomorrow. So this Christmas, let us thank God as you gave Jesus a mission in his life. What mission do you want for me? This is the first point. Secondly, we see when the angel came to Joseph,
the
angel said, you must call him Jesus. Because he will save his people from their sins. So what's the mission of Jesus? His mission is that of grace. Jesus came with a mission of grace because he came to bring salvation to everyone.
So his mission should be very clear.
So it is clear that his mission was that to benefit humankind. That he would bring grace to those who need it. And this is very clear. However, what are our missions? Most of the time, our goals in life are for ourselves. When you see that after Jesus was born, of course, he had to escape to Egypt. Because King Herod wanted to kill him. After a while, Jesus went with his parents to Jerusalem. And he was talking with the spiritual leaders, and he forgot to go home with his parents. But we remember the story after his parents came back to find him. He said, did you not know that I would be at my father's house? In other words, he was not striving for himself in life, he was looking for God's will. And then after he started serving, we also see how Jesus healed the sick. We see how he forgave the sinners. We see how he changed people's lives. And then we see how he convinced the Pharisee to walk in God's path.
So you see,
in other words, we see that Christ's mission is simple, to bring grace to the world. However, we as Chinese people, what's our mission? We believe our ambition is to eat as much as we can. Eating is somehow our goal in life. If you want to look for a job, in Chinese, the term is how do we eat to find a profession. The word eat is still in the Chinese term. And when we're working, we say we are earning money, and that still includes eating in Chinese. This is better. Because some people are worse. They don't work. They don't work properly, and so they cheat people, and that's still eating. Some people cheat, steal from people. Some people beg on the streets. And there are some people who eat secretly. And all of these are, as Chinese, we are so many types of people. But in the end, every single phrase there contains a Chinese word for eating. This is ingrained in our culture. You know, the Chinese culture dictates that each man should live for himself. That is not how Christ was. But Christ says, I will serve people and God.
And
I believe this is something that we have to meditate upon. We have to ask God, is my mission to serve other people? When those of you who are in business, this is a very simple concept that I'd like to introduce to you. When you are doing your business, your goal is not just to earn money. The money is a result, not the process. Money is the result, not the goal. What is the goal? The primary goal of your business should be to ask God, God, how can you use this business to serve other people?
So it means in that one thing, I want to do
and in this particular field of my business, how do I serve other people best and thus bring glory to God? For example, if you are opening a restaurant, and you want to make the best tasting restaurant in town, and after people eat, you want them to feel satisfied. But let's say you want to open a restaurant for money. Maybe the things that you cook will be slowly decreasing in quality. And in the end, your business will fail.
So I think when we do business, you remember, business is a call.
So you remember that business is a form of calling by God. However, you must do your business so that you can benefit other people. And all of us in different fields of work, it's the same for us. Back when I used to be in BSOP, the wife of our president, she never taught us in class. However, she once said a statement that I still remember to this day. She said, every time you stand on stage to preach, you must treat that message as the last you will ever preach in your life. If you think that this sermon is the last I will ever give, then you will give your very best. And why is that? Because we must do the best that we can to glorify God and to benefit other people. It's the same with our ministry. Serving in ministry on a voluntary basis. Doing things in our own home. Everything in life is the same. The best you have to give out. Because that will benefit people. That is an entire life view that will change. It's not just about what to do so that I can benefit myself. Instead, I should do everything I do so that God will be glorified and people will be helped. When we look at many mothers, there are many mothers who don't go have a job. However, they do the best they can in the hearts of their children. And the children know. It used to be back then there was only a celebration for Mother's Day and no Father's Day. It used to be that way. And once someone asked their mother, a kid asked their mother, this kid asked his mother, why is it that there's only Mother's Day and no Father's Day? The mother said, because 364 days of the year is actually Father's Day. Generally, everything is done for the father, and so they left one day for the mother. But we see that many children are close with their mothers because she has sacrificed for them. This is the second point that we must think about. First of all,
you
remember the first point is that Jesus came with a mission. And may each of us have a mission in our lives. I don't know about the future. We do not know about our own futures. But we have to ask right now, God, what do you want me to do in this life? Secondly, the second aspect we must think of. This mission is not to benefit ourselves. Instead, we should ask God, God, what mission should I have to serve God and to serve humans? Thirdly, what did the angel tell Joseph? Remember, the angel said, "You should call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Jesus will save his people. But how did he save his people? He had to come to this world. Mary was pregnant, and this was to give birth to Jesus. In other words, it's very clear that because the angel of the Lord told Mary, you will have a son, and this son will be Jesus. This is a Jesus who came and took on flesh. And what does that mean? This implies that Jesus left everything he had, his glory in heaven. And he came to be born in a stable. And he wanted to bring salvation to people. And he had to do this. He had to sacrifice. Sacrifice is leaving what you think is the most precious to you. So for the sake of others. To forsake your most precious
object.
Jesus in heaven could have enjoyed his life. But because of you and me, Jesus came to this world. And when you think about it, which is harder to enjoy or to not enjoy? Is it easier to enjoy and then lose that enjoyment? Or is it easier to not enjoy and then gain enjoyment? I believe the most difficult is when we are living in luxury and we suddenly lose that. And that's how Jesus was. He had everything to enjoy in heaven. And he was so close with his Heavenly Father. But when he came to be born, he was in a manger. He had no pillow to lay his head. And the Bible said, we see that throughout Jesus' lives, he could be tired, he could be sleepy, and this was everything that he never had experienced in heaven. But in the end, when he took upon death, when he took upon the human body, he grew tired. He would be hungry. That is sacrifice for you and me. Brothers and sisters, if you are offering help to other people, there is one thing that in which we must, one way in which we must imitate Christ. Sacrifice. There is no other way. This past week, I've been reading a book. I still haven't finished it.
Killing Christian.
It's a book called Killing Christians. And I've read about half of it. And in its start, in its opening, this book was published in 2014, there were a few statements.
He
said, first of all, in Egypt, 40 churches were burnt down. Secondly,
in Iran, there were a lot of people who were killed in Iran prison.
And in Iran, there are many various Christians who were imprisoned in their prison.
And 80 people
in North Korea who were killed just for owning Bibles. Fourthly,
in Syria.
There are people who were crucified to death. And I was thinking upon these statistics, I was comparing their lives to ours. You know how luxurious we live. You know how well our lives are. The only time they could worship together was in midnight at 2 a.m. What about us? We sit here with air conditioning. And we listen to this wonderful music. We sing along with the orchestra. And we could publicly worship our God. These people can't. They can't. And there is one phrase in this book that struck me. It says, that many Christian sacrifices are just inconveniences. For a lot of Christians, what we call great sacrifices are in fact minor inconveniences. But these people, their lives. But there is another statement that struck me. It says, when you think upon this,
pray for us.
When you think of these martyred Christians, it said, pray for us. But he also added,
but not feel bad for us.
But don't feel bad for us. Because that's a different concept, isn't it? He said, you should pray for us, but don't feel bad for us. There's no need to pity us. Because God put us in this environment, and I am ready anytime. What about us? How much are we willing to sacrifice for God and man? We ask a bit. If there's just a small requirement of us, we invent various excuses. But if we're asked to put down our lives, I think all of us would run away. But let me ask you a few things. Because if you feel something is not worth putting down your life for, that thing is not precious to you. Do you understand? Jesus, how much was his task important to him? How much are you willing to give up for Jesus? Because if we cannot sacrifice for God, we can never be true blessings to others. But when we think upon Christmas, when we learn these three lessons from Christ, when Jesus came, He came with a mission. And when Jesus came, He came with grace. And when Jesus came, He was willing to sacrifice. So may all of us, may all of us have a mission in life. And may this life be to glorify God and to benefit other people.
And
may we be willing to lay down our lives for God and man. And God will use you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your Son and for making it clear in Scripture how much this sacrifice was worth. Lord Jesus, we thank you because you came to us not for us to serve you, not for us just to worship you, but you came to us so that you can sacrifice for us lowly humans, and we never deserve that. Lord Jesus, we thank you for showing us the grand example of a life of mission, for giving us a great model of grace, and for giving us the greatest example we can ever have of sacrificial love. May you teach us these lessons that we can learn from your life. May we always be willing to live our entire lives in our work, at home, at school, at play. May everything we do be meant not for ourselves, but may they be meant to glorify your name and to benefit our people around us. All this we pray in Christ's precious name.